Welcome to the GamesNet Berlin Europe podcast. Here, we speak with extraordinary games industry professionals and listen to their story to learn all about what they've built and who they are. GamesNet Berlin Europe is the international games industry initiative of MediaNet Berlin Brandenburg, the networking association for the media, creative and digital industries in Germany's capital region. My name is Simon Oehler, and I will be your host for this program. This is part two of the GamesNet Berlin Europe podcast with Fedor van Herpen. Here we speak about life, his childhood, games, and all that good stuff. There's also a part one where we speak about work topics, especially meeting and matching with people, in detail. Feel free to listen to that part before or after part two. Either way is fine, really. You will find part one on the platform you're listening on now. Hit that subscribe or follow button if you feel like it. Thank you. In part two, we talk about how Fedor grew up and what influenced him in his life. We cover his favorite games and an interesting side hustle he had in the early internet days. And in the end, Fedor shares his well-kept secret to a good life. I hope you enjoy listening to part two of my conversation with Fedor van Herpen. Have fun. Hey, Fedor, and welcome back to the GamesNet Berlin Europe podcast.
Thanks. Good to be back.
Long time no speak. This is part two. and in part one, we spoke about a lot of your business, which you're in the business of meeting people. So if anybody hasn't listened to that yet, feel free to do that. We spoke a lot about life too. The things tend to intermix. And I want to do that more with you here in part two. And I usually like to start with something I'm always curious about with people, especially with people who are doing something like you. You're a founder. So how did you grow up? What was your childhood like? What or who influenced you? What did you care about as a kid? Answer what you like. I'm just curious how your early life stage was.
Yeah. So I grew up in a small town, small city in the Netherlands. I had my mom and dad and two sisters. My youngest sister was 10 years older than I was. My oldest sister was 12 years older than I am. So that when they were still at home, living at home, meant that I obviously had three mothers, which could be cool and also be a nuisance. But basically with such a age difference, it meant that I pretty well, much was a child alone. Always happy to went to school. I loved school. At the end of summer holiday, I was already asking like, hey, when can I start? So I had fun going there. And what I did in my spare time, I played tennis, field hockey, which I'm still doing, and obviously playing games. Right, my birth year is 1982, so I was lucky to grow up in a offline world, but to fully see and be part of the rise of computers and the internet. And I think I dove into that pretty well. So I scoured the internet. We had internet at our homes in 1992, which was pretty early. It was really fun. You can look up how old your Hotmail account is. And it was 1993. Yeah. And, early adopter.
I was born in 91. So that your Hotmail account is almost as old as I am.
Jeez. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Playing games, scouring the internet, downloading music when that was still kind of allowed or accepted. And
was it ever? It's like,
well, yeah, it was not forbidden. There were no legislation yet that could really prevent things from happening. But luckily, we have streaming services right now.
We've come full circle.
Yes,
downloading music is now legal. Hey, many things to go from there. Really great. I'm very curious if you want to talk about this. When you said you had three moms, because I'm curious, because I think I also said this as a kid, and I'm not sure if you had a mom and two older sisters. I had my mom, my grandma, and one of my aunts was also apparently in my child mind qualifying as a mom. So is that something that has influenced you in a specific way, or something that where you have memories with? You said sometimes annoying, sometimes nice. How was that for you? So curious about that.
Well, yeah. So I think basically especially my sisters took a similar role to my mom, telling me when I was naughty, telling me to stop doing stuff. But also taking me to nice places to the play garden or to an entertainment park or to a swimming pool. When there is an age difference of a minimum of 10 years, there is just not much that really connects you. I think that the moment that I really connected on an equal level with them was the moment that I got my own kids. So I have three kids with my wife, one older son and two daughters. No 10 years of age difference there, in between, more of a 2 years of age difference between anyone. But did it influence me? Nothing I can specifically recall on, no.
Sure. No, it's nice. I think it's just so... I just love to... I have a recurring memory of being in the kitchen, and there's then either my mom or my grandma or my aunt, and they are probably cooking something or cleaning something or doing something, and I'm just sitting there, and maybe I'll help. I remember in my grandma's kitchen, it was always quite small, but I'll help, or I'll just sit there and talk to them. And it's such a, and it's something that I notice in my life too. I behave like my moms do in many ways. So I'm standing in my kitchen and I'm doing something. And maybe when I have a friend there, they're like, can I help you something? I'm like, no, sit down. Do you want a tea? You know, it's like this kind of, that's how it is for me. It's, something very pleasant to have in life. I feel like it's a blessing. So I just want to share that with you. The same experience, maybe, or something similar.
Cool. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. I think that it doesn't have specifically is tailored to having three moms, but it's more, what are the people around you? How do they live life? And that's something you probably copy. My mom was always at home when I arrived back at school. She would always ask me, how was the school day? And I never wanted to answer. I thought that was so annoying. Like, leave me alone. I don't want to tell. I just had school. I don't want to relive that again by telling you. But that's not something I like to do as well. I sometimes pick up my kids from school. Obviously, I ask them, how was your day at school?
Yeah.
And obviously, they're like, Dad, no, I'm not going to answer. But now I know the moments where I can ask them. So, for example, when I bring them to bed, when I read them a story, and I'm always lying next to them still for a couple of minutes. And then I have those conversations. And then they're willing, because obviously the longer they talk, the longer they can stay awake.
I see. Very nice. But you loved school, you said. That's a thing. So you loved school, but you, well, maybe that's just the nature of the thing. When you just get out of school in a day, maybe you don't want to talk about, you have something else on your mind. What do you think you loved about school?
learning, improving, doing new stuff.
Did you in the later years ever feel like, in like later school years, ever feel like what many people report, that it's too restrictive or something, or that it doesn't place the emphasis on the right things? Or were you always happy to go along with the curriculum, so to speak?
I think when we're talking about high school, obviously I became a teenager and I was less interested in what they had to offer me. And later onwards, well, I think things were really general. School is about generalization, is about bringing you up to speed with what everybody should know, the basics. Mm. I think what I enjoyed most is doing my master's in marketing management, where there was really all of a sudden an in-depth dive of a lot of business stuff that was really new to me, and where I really needed to do my best to understand and to be able to apply it later.
A challenge.
Yeah, and I think I looked for my own fun and challenges, not per se in the curriculum, but more in being in the computer. There were always the people, the teachers at school would ask me whenever they couldn't handle the computer to fix things for them. Like, it's not working. Can you go look at it? You know, those kinds of things were because I always was trying to work on my computer and just click around and have fun.
Yeah. So let's talk a bit about computers and games. And the internet, all these great things. I love all of them. What games did you play? How did games enter your life? And what did you play? And what did you like about it?
It's a good question. And I think that many of the games that I played, most of them were side-scrolling platformers, like Jack Jazz Rabbit or Commander Keen. One of my favorite was Monster Bash, but it was not so well known. But I actually cannot recall how I got those games, because my dad was not really into gaming. My mom and my sisters weren't at all. So I must have gotten them somewhere, because at that point in time, there was still the concept of shareware, just floppy disks with games that you didn't have to pay for, and you only paid for the consecutive episodes, which I can't recall we ever did.
Did you mention, when we spoke before, did you mention your uncle or something about video games?
Yeah, well, yes. So he was working at IBM. So I can recall that every once in a while I might have gotten a disc, but it was not like every week, every month or so. So probably, maybe I was too young, or I was just not paying attention. Or maybe I was just looking at my box full of discs and I was just focusing on that. Like, okay, what am I going to play today?
They were just there. Nice.
Yeah, they were just there. And I noticed that I'm becoming more and more nostalgic about these games. For most of them, I have some of the originals on the shelves behind me at the office, catching dust.
Do you remember what games kind of did for you as a kid? Like what drew you to them? Or as a kid, fun. Right? In general, right?
Yeah, it was just fun. So when I was still with my parents, I could always play for an hour a day, and then it was restricted to 1 hour maximum. And when there was internet, it was also restricted from an hour. And if I took too long, they just unplugged the plug downstairs.
Cruel, these parents.
Yeah, well, maybe I should have listened kind of as well. It was just fun. But later onwards, the games became much more immersive or took more of my time. At that time, I was playing Command & Conquer, for example, or Tomb Raider. And time flies by so quickly when you're playing games. And I think now, right now, with having a lot of kids, having an own company, etc., I tend not to play these games unless there is a Star Wars game that I really like. Because whenever I have a full day off, so to say, wherever I don't have to take care of the kids, do something at home or do something for work, I don't want that day to pass by in a heartbeat by playing a game.
But that's actually what happens, right? When you
that is what happens, like, because I boot up the game, I start the game, and then all of a sudden, like, it's 3 hours later or more. And so right now I kind of moved from playing games to more watching people play games.
Nice. So you watch a lot of Twitch?
Yeah.
Or YouTube for that?
Yeah, yeah, both of them, yeah.
Yeah,
no, yeah, no, that's specific, nice, right? People that I'm following there is just more whatever I'm into. I'm just looking up some streams that are currently live, and then
yeah,
look at that.
You can avoid the commitment. That's exactly what I do too. Because sometimes, so I had this experience, which kind of like you described. I had a weekend, and I had some plans for it, but so I wanted to try this game, Dorfromantik, which maybe you've heard about, came out. It's like you lay down tiles and this type of game just completely hooks me. And so it was almost, you said 3 hours later, for me it was like 19 hours later or something. I just, I got so stuck in this game. It was amazing. The hours just flew by. One glance at the clock, 1 a.m., another glance, 3 a.m., and it's like, yo, what just happened? I need to uninstall, you know? I'm going to watch some Twitch and watch some people play, but I can't do this. This takes way too long. A testament to the quality of the game, of course. But yeah, I feel that. I think life is a big game too, and you want to... Yeah, well, games are so fun and so challenging. But again, we discussed this in part one. It's hard to have embodied memories with it. When you play as a kid, you have nostalgia, like you said, because they were meaningful moments as a kid. Later on, it's a bit like, it's a bit different. It's a bit like, maybe, you know, I should go outside or something. I don't know. Do you feel the same way? Or?
Yeah. I tend to notice that, and probably that this whole COVID situation has helped with that, is that I indeed try to move away from the computer whenever I can. Or what I'd like to do, like, for example, last weekend, I've been really working on hardware of a laptop, making sure things work again because the hard drive was crashed, trying to unscrew everything and then making it work again. But that's not looking at a screen, that's just working with the hardware and being working with your hands and your mind. Or indeed, like you were saying, go out into nature.
Yeah. 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 And I think that's such a... I think a lot about games and their purpose at the moment. I think games are just so... video games are just so high resolution, like as far as a game goes, you know, you can play catch with your friends, but it's a pretty low resolution game. It's of course high resolution in terms of you have to move your body and stuff, but mentally, like Command & Conquer, StarCraft, and a bunch of other games are just, they give such a great rush of challenge to the brain, and I think some of us really need that, and especially at that young age where That's why I was wondering about school, you know, because I loved games and I found school quite all right, but it's games were the much better challenge for me and the much better teacher in many ways.
Interesting. Interesting. I haven't seen games as being a teacher. For me, it was just entertainment.
Okay.
But simultaneously, obviously, when I convinced my dad to play along and he was not so good at it, I quickly took over and right now at this age, when I'm trying to jump into a new game, especially, I don't know, something like Fortnite or so, I am within 1 second reminded that I'm not so quick as I used to be, because all the youngsters are just fragging me in a heartbeat. And that's also kind of annoying. Yeah.
If you like a good platformer, I really love platformers. And there's a game by a French studio, I believe, Motion Twin, and it's called Dead Cells. And it's a kind of a roguelike Metroidvania-ish game, mm-hmm. Which is amazing. I can only recommend it. It's fantastic. And you don't need to be quick. Actually, you can be, but it quite profits from being slow and methodical, and especially when it gets harder. Which it does. So
that's good. Yeah, that's why I either like co-op games where you need to help each other, or first-person games where I can just decide whether or not I want to have the full storyline or just the main arc that I want to enjoy, or use as many health power-ups as as I need. Than just being headshotted by others all the time.
By some 12-year-olds. Feel that.
Yes.
Hey, did you do anything fun on the internet as a kid? I know that there might be a story looming there. kind of startup mentality that you already had as a kid or something. So what did you find out on the internet?
Yeah, I don't know if it was a startup mentality, but it was at least taking care of my own pocket money. And I don't exactly know how it was called, but there were many, mainly US-based reward programs 10 years ago or more. Not 10 years ago. Like I still think that I'm 20, but I'm not 20 anymore. But 1995, around that time. When you were, I don't know, 3 years old?
Yeah, three, four, yeah.
Simon?
Young Simon.
Yeah, young Simon. But it was some kind of a reward programs from different kind of providers where you got daily emails that you needed to click for cents. You got cents in a bank. Programs that you needed to install and that showed you banners on your desktop while you were online, which got you paid. And by doing all these kind of chores and clicks, etc., I was able to gather about 10 US dollars a week. And that was pretty interesting because when I requested my first payout, I was getting sent a check to the Netherlands. And then I was going to my dad like, hey, dad, I want to cash this in. And he was like, what? What are you doing with a check? And the funny story, obviously, is he was working at a bank. So he was understanding the concept of checks really well. It was not a very standard payment form in the Netherlands. But he made sure that these checks were actually cashed and put on my bank account, or on his bank account probably at that point in time, and then just paid out to me as pocket money in cash. So yeah, that's where I got my my first payments, my first own well earned pocket money by just clicking around.
So funny. It's so I've heard the story once before and it's just amazing to me. It's like, how, what is this even? I've never heard of this. That's you can just like click some stuff and then get some money. I mean, today, all the games, they want you to click a bunch of stuff and then you have to pay them money. I think you found the way better game back then.
Well, at that point in time, I think maybe even it's a bit similar to what esports is doing as a marketing channel right now. It's so new and people want to be a first mover and are willing to pay premium money for getting stuff done. And right now, the internet obviously is bombarded with advertising. So and everybody is online right now. So they wouldn't be able to pay 1 cent a click or those amounts. It would be 0.00001 cents per million clicks. I don't know. You know. So yeah. So the dynamics have changed a lot since then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super cool though. That's one way to make use of that. Yeah, very nice. I was wondering, I guess I have a small, big question for you before we wrap up. You said in episode one, in part one, that you have some lessons that you found out for yourself. Maybe you're not that, you haven't implemented them yet. It usually takes a while from realization to living it out. But that seems to me that you are thinking about things. And I'm just curious, what's your general sense of living a good life? What would you say are the, in a very broad, as much a broad sense as you want, what are the things you've learned about living life well and having kind of fun and joy in life, because that's the sense I get from you. So I would really like to know and for you to share with others what you've learned or what you're learning right now.
Well, there is a fun story to that as well, because when I was young, when I was enjoying school, when I was thinking about my career, I wanted to be the CEO of a big corporation. And here I am having my own company in the games and events industry. Quite different. But it was fun. Like I was saying in part one, I was applying for an internship at Shell. I have been working at an energy company, which was a sustainable energy company. So there I already made my shift from what I think is important for the world and life a bit. But there I also realized that this was not the real thing that I find enjoyable, that moving up the ranks, becoming a CEO and having no time for fun and family, that was not something that I wanted to pursue anymore. So I think in the games industry, what I so I think happiness for me is my family and friends, obviously my wife and my kids, but also my friends around me. And secondly, my work, that I'm my own boss, that I can work whenever I want, don't work whenever I want, but also have fun while doing my work with the people around me. And I think especially the games industry is very facilitating me in having fun. A couple of my friends are also working in the games industry, so I derive my friends from my work. And in general, the fact that this industry, compared to any other I've been in, and that's energy, that's banking, that's e-commerce, that is advertising, this industry is, in general, of course, it has its shortcomings, but in general, so welcoming, and everybody is so approachable and open, and people tend to retain much more of their own personal identities as opposed to trying to suit up and become something they aren't, but they think is expected from them. So yeah, it's working in this industry, having fun doing things, and also having still enough time to enjoy the personal life.
And play the occasional Star Wars game.
Yeah, every once in a while, yeah. So that was Fallen Order that I played. I really like that. I also still like the game, or the movies, or The Mandalorian on Netflix. Star Wars is my universe to hide in, to indulge in. I've tried to bring that across to my son, but I might have over pushed because he's not into it. He's into Pokemon, and I still surprise him that I also still know all the names of all the first 150 Pokemon. So he's
Good,
always
good.
like proud on his dad that I actually know this when he has conversations with his friends, and I jump in with the right names. But yeah, that as well.
That as well. No, I think that's beautiful. I think that's a wonderful balance and kind of an integrated description of what you're doing. I think that's really wonderful. And of course, how to get there in detail is maybe another story, but maybe in short, as a last question for sure, did you have kind of a system how you made these decisions, or was it more luck that you got there, or how would you describe your way there in a general sense?
I believe in a bit of luck, but I believe that you're also creating your own luck. I believe in fate, but also I believe in the fact that you can create your own fate.
Sounds good. Everything good is a bit paradoxical and has two sides. I agree, yeah.
I think philosophically thinking, I'm 38 right now, and I think the age of 34 to now are so transformative. What I really enjoyed is that I learned to be fully myself instead of acting upon what others would like me to do. And I so much wish I knew this 20 years ago, that I just dared being myself more. But on the other hand, and that's what I mean by I believe in fate and creating your fate, this is also your life path, your learning curve that you need to go through. But right now I'm very much enjoying life. I do want to get into meeting people in person again, the extrovert person I am. But apart from that, things are okay, are good.
Fantastic. Great note to end on. I have 1,000 questions for you about, I think there are probably many stories to tell, but such is the nature of a limited time podcast interview time. Thank you so much for talking to me about all these wonderful things and about your life, and for sharing your stories. People can find you online at FJ Van Herpen, well, in episode one, like you said, pretty much everywhere, and the door is very open. So, if you're listening to this, feel free to connect with Fedor if this was an interesting conversation to you.
Yeah, thank you, Simon, for having me here. And also, I need to extend a thanks to Florian Massoud, who invited me to be here as part of the MediaNet podcast and the GamesNet he's working for. So, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And thanks to Florian. I agree. Great man. Any last words from your end?
I think this is the first question that you got me struck without having a answer right on the spot. My famous last words will be no famous last word, but keep on doing what you enjoy and enjoy what you're doing.
Lovely. Good enough. Thank you so much, and I'll see you around.
I'll speak to you another time. Have a great day.
Bye.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to part two of this episode. If you haven't listened to part one yet, you could do that. And if you listened to both already, thank you so much. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast on whichever platform you may be listening on, so you can stay tuned for many more exciting games industry guests from Berlin and from all over Europe. So I see you very soon. Until then, take care, thank you, and bye-bye.
Hi there. Before you go, this is Florian, Project Manager for GamesNet Berlin Europe. If you want to stay connected to the network, find out more about upcoming events and links to other MediaNet initiatives, you can visit us at gamesnetberlin.eu and subscribe to our newsletter. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, and until next time.